52 points in the fourth quarter, more than the first three quarters combined. Any concern there, and any idea what's up?
Yeah, you know, we've been thinking on that. As we were in the exact opposite position last year. Last year we were struggling a little bit in the first half, and then second half we were pitching shutouts. So, I think there's a lot of layers to everything that goes on the football field. 52 points in any quarter is not enough. I mean, it's too many, and whether it's the first or the fourth, and we got to do a better job of keeping points off the board.
You're leading the league in time of possession. You can't be a fatigue issue.
No, I don't think. There's other challenges that everybody has, but I certainly wouldn't place it on any kind of fatigue.
Seemed to be explosive plays against the Chargers, not the 13, 14 play drives. How do you stop that?
Yeah, each one there was really four key plays in that game, starting with that 75-yard touchdown. Each of them was a different breakdown. All of them were defensive breakdowns as a unit. But each of them was, a little bit different. So I think that plays into it. But I think another one that goes a little bit, I don't say unrecognized, but it was certainly recognized by us, is first couple of weeks we played pretty clean when it came to penalties. And this last week we didn't. And, Giants, we were a little bit worse. But this last week we gave them three first downs with penalties. A couple key plays, a second and 10, got a holding on a screen pass at a DPI, and had three offsides that I think all contributed in keeping us off balance also. So it wasn't just the big plays. I think that the defensive fouls and the penalties had a lot to do with it. We got to get back to playing the clean football that we played early in the season.
What could have been done differently on the 75-yard touchdown in terms of coverage?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, and I've sort of taken the approach this year of just saying every one is a defensive breakdown. Whether it's a little better rush, whether it's a little better coverage, whether it's a little better call. The bottom line is we gave up a long touchdown pass, and we had really good momentum to that point. First drive calls the fumble, second drive punt, third drive punt, and then all of a sudden just a one play, 75-yard play. It changed the momentum of the game, and I think that there's a lot of different things we can play better amongst that play.
Since Cox has gone down, though, you guys have given up 7.5 yards per play. Before that, was less than 6 yards per play. Is there some sort of correlation?
Pro Football Focus is really in really. And what was the question I missed?
I mean, is there some correlation between how the team?
That's bad enough news anyway.
48 points since Fletcher Cox has gotten hurt.
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen before he signed his contract, because he probably would have asked for more. That's a very frivolous way of saying we miss him, and we need to do a better job of playing as a unit when guys like that are, not in there. And, we've had our challenges. Everybody has their challenges, plugging guys in and still trying to have a high level. There's no explanations, no excuses. We have to do a better job of playing all around that position, not just filling in for him from a defensive tackle position, but everybody else doing their job well enough that, that those things don't make as big a difference as they did.
Jim, we talk a lot about young cornerbacks and how they bounce back when they give up a play. What did you see from Rasul from that standpoint?
I don't know if that had a whole lot to do with it. He gave up a couple of plays in the game. He's a competitor. He's a lot like Jalen in that way. They're young guys. They're competitive. You need to have a short memory to play corner. Last week, Jalen had given up a couple of plays, and when it came time to get a stop, he made two big plays to help get us stops. And you have to play that way when you're a corner. We need to play more consistently at the corner position. It's not just about a singular flash play. It's about consistency over the course of the game. And, those guys are still working their way through that.
How's Harvey doing? Cornerback, it seemed the first recent camp, we asked you about Patrick Robinson every time, and not so much since then. How has he been now settled down to the slot?
I think he's performed at a really high level. you know, he's really taken that position over. He's limited his focus to that position. I think that's helped also, and has quietly done his job. And you know, I mean, you know, sort of offensive tackles, maybe quiet is a good word. You know, corners, you know, it can be a good word. I mean, certainly don't want to be quiet when it comes to pass breakups or interceptions or things like that. But he's been giving us good, consistent play.
And the challenge this week with Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, another Hall of Fame quality player. It's not just about Larry Fitzgerald, though. I mean, they can put a 4x100 team together, or 4x1, whatever it is, 400, whatever the 4x1 relay team, and they got a lot of speed. You know, and a quarterback that has. I know Coach Arians had said he's playing at a level that he hasn't seen him play before. You know, they've had their struggles here and there, but I think he's really playing good football, and we have our work cut out for us. Again, it can't just be about Larry Fitzgerald. It can't be about one player. If you make it that way, you're going to be susceptible to other things, and we got to do a better job of not being susceptible to other things.
Jim, how's Darby doing?
I don't have any updates on that. I'll let the trainers and Coach Peterson handle that.
What have you noticed about him as he's going through the rehab and staying engaged as he works to come back?
Yeah, I think I put him and Sidney Jones in that same category. They've been very engaged in the meetings. You know, they found a way to make use of their time, even though they've been on the shelf. And when it comes time for, you know, those guys to be back on the field, whenever that is, they've both put themselves in good position to be ready when their body is when their body's capable. When their body is capable, I have no idea. I'll leave that to other people.
What have you seen from the way Derek Barnett's developed over the first four games of the season here?
He's had his ups and downs, as a lot of rookies have had, or you know, sort of have in general. I thought he was. He played an improved game yesterday, against the Chargers, as opposed to the week before. He was a factor in the pass game. Made a great play on that draw. That's a hard play to defend, and he made a play on the draw for a -4. He's had very few missed assignments. I don't want to give gold stars for that because that's what's expected of us. But I think that's also a good sign coming from a rookie that's getting significant playing time, particularly in some key situations.
It's probably not ideal to have him against Keenan Allen one-on-one, but
yeah.
His athleticism to be able to have some blitzes like that, how much can you go back to that knowing?
I like that backhanded way. Yeah. They caught us in a motion. We'd actually changed our blitz so we'd avoid that situation. And then they caught us in a motion and ended up, boy, I tell you what, he did a good job of getting that. We didn't get enough pressure. He shouldn't have to cover for that long. Obviously, it's his own blitz, and he shouldn't have to cover for that long. But, you know, as soon as I saw that matchup, it was like, oh, my gosh. But he was the right guy to have out there. Brandon Graham has also done a good job in those situations before. He's covered some wide receivers down the field. When you run zone blitzes, that's sort of part of the scheme. When they put those wide receivers at those interior positions, you're going to end up with those matchups. You need to limit the explosiveness of it, and I thought Derek did a good job. Your question was something else, though.
It was basically just you saw the athleticism he has on that play, so I'm guessing you feel more comfortable putting him in those situations again.
We didn't draft him for coverage. You know, drafted in the rush passer. And, you know, I mean, obviously coverage is going to be a part of any blitz scheme, whether you're covering a running back, whether you're dropping in a zone or doing those kind of things. But, you know, it certainly showed his athletic ability and his speed.
Jim, not asking you about that. I've got an update on his progress or return. But with Sidney Jones, what do you need to see from him if and when he is ready before you're – comfortable putting him on field?
Oh, that's way too far in the future to really even comment on now. When we get him back on the field, I think then we can cross that. I mean, there'll be a time that, you know, that we have with the NFI, PUP, whatever it is, to get him on the field and practice. I think we can cross that bridge when we get there. But I know he's very engaged. He travels with us on games. He goes to every walkthrough. And it can be tedious sometimes going out there and watching everybody stretch. Going out there and, you know, going to a meeting the night before the game, knowing that you're not going to play. But I think that it's all beneficial for him in the long run. And when he is able to play, whenever that is, he'll have benefited from those experiences, mainly because of the effort and the conscientiousness that he's put into that. I've been proud of him that way, and it's a difficult situation to stay engaged, but ask questions in the meetings, and is up on just about everything that we do, and he's been working hard to rehab also.
Are you concerned that Vinny Curry hasn't had any sacks and only a few hurries, or has he played maybe better than the stats?
You know, I said that last year. I think he's playing at an improved level over last year. A little bit like quarterbacks and touchdown passes. Defensive line gets judged by sacks a lot of times, and it's just life in the business. We need to be more productive across the board. We started off good with a couple 4-sack games, and then it was going to be hard to sack Eli Manning. I mean, we could have rushed 12, and I don't know if we could have got him on some of those. That ball was coming out so fast, but that's the way that game plays, and you have to be good in other areas. Until the end, and we looked awful on a 35-yard touchdown run. We did a really good job stopping the run, and Vinny had a lot to do with that. He's played very physical at the point of attack. He's been physical in his pass rush. He's been alive in his pass rush a lot more than in the past. I'm happy with the track he's on. We all need to be more productive.
Jim, has he gotten better against the run?
I'm trying to figure out the best way to say that. He's improved. I'm just trying to figure out the right way to say it. The results are better, and that's the bottom line in this business. Just like the bottom line is trying to get a win any way you can. Stats are irrelevant, but he's worked really hard at some of the things that he needed to work on, and I think he's been a much improved player against the run.
Michael Kendricks expressed frustration about wanting to play more. I think you probably typically want that out of a player, want them to play more. Have you seen any evidence that maybe he does deserve to play a little more in the nickel?
I think we look at everything every week when it comes to it, and Mike has found a way to be productive. We can all be more productive. We are starting to use a few more personnel packages than we have in the past, and we'll just see the way it goes after that.
How is Malcolm's role different this year with having that established left?
Yeah, I still think that when we get to full strength, that's something that we can benefit, from is him playing down, because he is good in some of those matchups. With the 3-1 start and everything that's gone on, I think Malcolm's play has sort of flown below the radar. He doesn't have interceptions or sacks and things like that, but he's played consistent football. Early on, talking about some of our positions where we're striving to get consistency, you can scratch Malcolm off of that list. He's played very consistently, and he's also had to handle a lot of different situations, from losing his running mate at safety next to him, plugging another guy in. There hasn't, he's taken a lot on himself to stay productive, and I think he's playing at a higher level than I've ever seen him play, and that says an awful lot because he's been a good player in this league for a long time.
You mentioned the Cardinals' speed. How much easier is your life this week with no David Johnson?
Yeah, I was watching the opener and didn't face them last year, but watching the opener against Detroit, and he was obviously a big part of their game plan. They've sort of compartmentalized that. They really haven't changed offense or what they do. They just use Chris Johnson in sort of one half of that role and use Ellington in another half. Both of those guys are good in what they do. Ellington has played wide receiver for him. He's made some great catches, and he's so hard to handle coming out of the backfield. So I think there's still the same challenges. It's just they've compartmentalized it a little bit, and we still have to defend the same offense and the same quarterback.
Hey, Jim, has Kendrick's frustration been noticeable to you? And have you guys ever had sort of that conversation to get on the same page and make sure it's being channeled in the right way?
He's been a pro. And I've said this from the beginning of training camp. He's gone out and worked really hard and done everything that we've asked him to do. Any conversations I have with players, I'd like to keep between the player and myself. But, I think from the very beginning, of training camp. We talked about him coming in to what he's going to be asked to do and then doing that well. And, you know, I couldn't be prouder of him.
Jim, when did you first see offenses around the league use these run option plays and run pass option plays, sorry, and what kind of stress does that put on the defense?
You talking about quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Vince Young back in 2005. That's the first I was in Tennessee when Vince was running it. We ran some when I was in Detroit with Drew Stanton, who's the backup quarterback. I mean, we all defend triple option teams with wishbone and things like that, so that's nothing new. It does spread you a little bit thinner, and when you get a guy that can run and also pass, it's one thing like Wildcat. Wildcat is basically the same thing, but the ability of a guy to pass the ball is severely limited as opposed to a quarterback. And if you can get a dual threat, it can spread you thin. You know, there is downsides to it. You know, accumulation of hits on quarterbacks and things like that have taken a toll on some players, but it certainly makes it harder to defend.
Okay, guys.